Les fabricants d'oxydol présentent rue principale. Mesdames, vous serez certainement enchantées des heures de liberté supplémentaires que vous donnera Oxydol les jours de lessive, car il vous libérera du trempage préalable. Il vous libérera du dur frottage et de l'emploi de produits chimiques. Avec l'oxydol actuel, il ne faut ni mettre à tremper, ni frotter, ni employer d'eau de Javel. Excepté en ce qui concerne certains articles spéciaux, vous pouvez passer tout votre linge à la machine, le rincer et avoir une lessive superbe. Vous pouvez faire cela parce que l'oxydol d'aujourd'hui est extrêmement rapide, parce qu'il extirpe littéralement la saleté du linge tandis que la machine fonctionne, sans perdre une minute à tremper. L'oxydol d'aujourd'hui contient un remarquable ingrédient nouveau que la plupart des autres savons ne contiennent pas, et c'est pourquoi vous pouvez vous attendre à avoir un linge blanc et propre avec le minimum d'effort. Et quand je dis avec un minimum d'effort, je veux dire que vous ne devrez pas frotter dur avec oxydol, c'est inutile. Même les endroits particulièrement sales n'en ont pas besoin. Mouillez-les, enduisez-les d'un peu d'oxydol, jetez-les dans la machine avec le reste et tout sera blanc, propre quand vous aurez rincé. Aussi, lundi prochain, épargnez du temps, épargnez du travail. Employez la méthode Oxydol, facile et rapide. Ne mettez pas à tremper, ne frottez pas, renoncez aux produits chimiques. Jetez tout simplement votre linge dans votre machine, rincez-le quand il sortira et il sera splendidement propre et blanc.
C'est vraiment fantastique avec Oxydol, comme vous voyez. C'est le genre de message qu'on diffusait à l'intérieur même des radioromans dans les années 40. Celui-là date de 1942. C'est vraiment texto ce qui était écrit dans le script du radioroman Rue principale. Faut se rappeler, là, dans les années 40, il y avait assez cassé jusqu'à 22 radioromans par semaine. Donc, beaucoup de propagande. C'était de la bonne propagande, peut-être. Mais on s'ingéniait donc à trouver des façons d'informer les gens sur la situation de la guerre aussi. Et les radioromans y étaient pour beaucoup. Heureusement, les temps ont changé et je pense que Ania va nous présenter les invités que nous avons pour la deuxième partie de l'émission.
Yes, times have changed and women are by far not anymore only listeners. Women are actually participating actively in producing radio. And to let you know, we are here actually now with some more women beside Mariana and myself. We have Mariam Seleme and Tamara Filjanovic, who are with us besides of Gao Mahadevan. All three are working at CKUC and I CKAC, sorry. CAKC.
CKUT.
There are too many abbreviations on radio. CKUT. I always call it UCAT because it's so much easier. And we want to have a little bit of their insight. They are all working for CKUT. And of those three, there are certainly quite interesting insights that we can get out of them. You're working here for a couple of years, or some of you are working for a couple of years here. And can you tell us what CKUT's mandate is to begin with? And how is it different from other stations? I think this is a question to Tamara.
Gonna work better with my microphone on.
Yes.
Thanks so much for having us. So yeah, as you mentioned, we've been here for a number of years. I myself have been here for almost 20 years because I started as a volunteer.
Okay.
I've been here since 2003, I guess, and I've been doing this job for 8 years.
You were employed because you could type write?
Exactly. Typewriters were big in 2004, and so they snatched me up.
Sure.
So our mandate is, I think we did have a typewriter or two when I first, but we were slowly
Electrical.
Transitioning towards computers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our mandate essentially is to be an alternative to most other media out there. And so that really means, in a nutshell, to do social justice radio, right? So what does that mean? That means providing the space and the training and the equipment to people and perspectives and ideas that aren't reflected or misrepresented in most of the mainstream media and even a lot of public radio, and definitely in the commercial radio or media. And so if you look at our website, our mission statement is a bit of a misnomer. It says voice of the voiceless. We like to call it mic of the micless, rather, because it's not true that there is such a thing as a voiceless demographic. There's rather some erased voices out there.
Yeah.
And so that means really outreaching a lot and making sure that CKUT is visible in places and communities that don't have access to radio or don't think that with a little bit of training and practice, they can be there or here, ideally, and, you know, do the stories and cover issues by and for their own communities.
I appreciate that very much, because we are a little bit of these voices that are without a microphone, because the Musée des Ondes is a little bit off the beaten path, and this is a real great, really great opportunity also for these smaller institutions to be heard that may not make it on main broadcasting channels. There are female artists that you represent, and I heard that CKUT actually was quite supportive of those artists. Could you name some, one of you? I don't know if I should always ask Tamara. Or
no, that's a great question for Mariam, who worked for a number of years in the music department, right?
That's right, yes. So I am currently the McGill Outreach Officer, meaning I create a dialogue with our student demographic and community. However, before that, I was a music librarian, and part of our mandate is indeed to include artists which have been marginalized. Tamara herself is a musician. However, we represent a lot of local DIY musicians that possibly may not have such adequate representation elsewhere. We've had local musicians such as Zara Dion come to mind, who have been in the station promoting themselves and their releases. We do co-presents with alternative kind of grassroots festivals all over the city in order to promote music which is female-fronted, DIY, local, and we were also one of the first stations, having our license since 87 on the FM dial, we were one of the first stations to promote hip-hop as much as we did.
Are there a lot of hip-hop female artists out there that you can name? Is that something that CKUT?
We are definitely very interested in female-fronted hip-hop. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind right now was a release that we had, Sum 01 was the artist name that's currently on our charts.
Okay.
And if you would like to see our charts and, you know, see for yourself the representation which we put forward as well as the quality of music, you can go on music.ckut.ca. That is our music blog as well as our charts.
Is there a quota for female musicians, or is it just that you push them to the forefront? And
no, we try to give
as many
them
as can make it.
Of course, we do have some, you know, quota, such as the content being Canadian. We have about 30% of Canadian content, which we try to put on air, and local has a big role in that. We do not have a quota for the fairer sex musicians, but we should try to put them forward nonetheless, given,
great,
of course, their musical.
That's really great. There are certainly also initiatives by women that sprung up from CKUT. Some of them have made actually quite an impact. I heard there are some that made it even to a national level. Who is the person? I think Gus
Gao.
Is an expert on that.
Mm-hmm. One that comes to mind specifically is something that previous news coordinator Gretchen King spearheaded, which is called Grand Wire Community Radio News. So to rewind on the importance of community radio within the sector, there are actually three types of broadcasting licenses, and we have a community campus license, which essentially means that, unlike, you know, public radio, we are free and independent from state narratives. So really, using that to inform both our mandate and the kind of programming we do. Gretchen King started this initiative that took local contributions from campus community radio stations across the country and kind of made a syndicated program of 29 minutes long that would air biweekly. So it's really fostering a kind of coast-to-coast-to-coast partnership and alliance between several different local communities, most of which are being, held together by a lot of female labor.
Okay. That's also kind of a network between the different stations?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned three types of licenses, so that would be commercial, state, and community?
Yes, so commercial, public, and community.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the news content. Is as Miriam expressed about music and trying to feature female-led music, is there something similar to other kinds of content, for example, news?
Again, so because our mandate is to provide a mic to the micless, and we're largely informed, and especially in the news department, to provide local grassroots and autonomous media coverage, it follows that a lot of our contributions are from female or gender diverse people from a variety of marginalized or traditionally marginalized backgrounds that don't have access or are underrepresented, misrepresented, or erased from mainstream media narratives. So, for example, coverage of the Wet'suwet'en, struggles that are going on are mainly, a lot of our speeches and interviews focus on traditional maternal kind of elders and their voices. So there is kind of a focus on including those voices in our coverage, for sure.
And mm-hmm. Gao touches upon a really interesting point about women's labor within these initiatives. Like, she's a great example of one of the people who shoulders most of the work to keep the Groundwire initiative going. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but I'm noticing that most of the community reporters and volunteers who are actually present on the streets, in the blockade, doing solidarity and coverage, most of the time are, women or female-identified folks. I don't know if that's a coincidence, if that's just me picking up on stuff, but being here for so long, it's something I see over the years, over and over, that a lot of this labor is shouldered in this way, and that's true.
And part of that has to do with how female labor is traditionally invisibilized, mm-hmm. Devalued, or taken for granted. What does it take to run a community radio station? What does it take, the daily operations of a community radio station, the behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Who is putting that labor in?